We have 20 minutes. And there's a lot going on in Parshas Vayechi. We're going to dive into one Ramban in particular. As you see, we're going to be diving into the first Ramban in Perek Memches. That's Perek Memches Pasuk Vav. About Ephraim and Manasseh. Just by way of opening, I would tell you that we have time over the course of the next few days. Another beautiful Ramban. If you're looking for a second Ramban to work on, if you go forward to Perek Mem Tes, Pasuk Yud is another candidate for your Ian. Mem Tes, Pasuk Yud is where the Ramban develops questions about Malchus in Yehuda versus Malchus in other Shvatim. Ramban talks about, was it appropriate or inappropriate that the Chashmonaim had a monarchy, a dynasty of the course of the Bayis Sheni. Very, very fascinating. Mara Makom Ani Lach. But let's turn our attention now to what we're in. Perek Mem Ches, Pasuk Vav. Yaakov says to Yosef, he calls Yosef in and he tells him that Ephraim Menashe, Keruvein Veshimon Yihuli. They're going to be like Reuven and Shimon. They'll be ki'ilu two shvatim. They'll be ki'ilu their shvatim. Two of the shvatim. Molatecha shalat achrayem lecha yiyu. Your moledes, which you will give birth to after them, lecha yiyu, will be yours. Ephraim and Manasseh, they're mine. Your other moledes are yours. What does that mean? So here we are. Rabban begins to quote the language of Rashi. Im tolid od banim. If you have more children, no reason why you can't have more than two sons. If you have more, going forward, lo yiyu b'minyan banai ela b'selch shivtei Menashe v'Ephraim Menashe y'nechol. They won't be like additional shvatim. If you have a third son, a fourth son, a fifth son, they won't all be shvatim. We're not going to end up with 15, 16 shvatim. No, they'll have to blend in to the Menashe or Ephraim. They'll fall under that rubric. Lo yehi lahem shame v'shar hashvatim liyanachla. They won't have be separate units for nachla purposes. Now Rashi is already talking about what's the significance. What's the nafkamina of Menashe v'Ephraim being kiruvin v'shem? Now Rashi begins to tell us nafkamina is for nachla. Yafa pishin es chalke eretz Yisrael minyan gugul osam. Even though Eretz Yisrael was divided by head, meaning even though Eretz Yisrael was divided by population in proportion to population, there's really a certain amount of land or a certain amount of plantable land or plantability per person. A pasuk at the end of Chumash Bamidbar, and therefore Kalish Natal B'Shavu Chutzman Abichoros. Every Jew is getting the same chunk of land, the same quantity of land in Eretz Yisrael. Mikama Kamal Nikru Shvatim Ela Elu. Only these are called Shvatim. What Kasha is Rashi sort of obliquely asking, and what is he answering? What's Rashi's problem? What's Korai Banchek? What's bothering Rashi? Here he actually is more or less formulating his kasha. Yehuda? And Akiva? What's the point of them being called Shvatim? What's the point of people called if I was getting the same amount anyways? What are you going to say, Akiva? Right. What's the point of them being called Shvatim? Lamanav Kamina. We could call Reuven 10 different Shvatim. If everyone gets the same size amount of land, so whether I have a group of 100,000 people, I'll call them one Shevet or 10 Shvatim. Either way, those 100,000 people are getting 100,000 lots. So Lamanav Kamina. So that's a very strong kasha. The kasha is very strong. And Rashi is asking specifically in terms of Yaakov is stressing only Menashe Ephraim will be considered separate shvatim. If you, Yosef, have other sons, they're not going to be called separate shvatim. Frek Rashi, and if they are called separate shvatim?
Well,
Either way, however many great great grandchildren you have, that's the number of portions they're getting in Eretz Yisrael. So lamai nafkimina. The truth is not just a kasha about omar latacha sher latachem. That's the kasha. What would be the status of any hypothetical other sons Yosef would have? It's really a kasha even on Menashe v'Ephraim. To what end are Menashe v'Ephraim called separate shvatim? What do you mean? Separate shvatim. Same sheva, two shvatim. They have the same total population. Whether you divide them into two groups, partition them into two groups, Menashe and Ephraim, or just put them into one big pot of Yosef. Either way, it's A plus B. So that's the number of, you're getting, if everything is proportional to population, each person who's royal and achlik gets a certain amount, other than the Bechorim get double. So then who cares? One sheva, two shvatim, three shvatim, ten shvatim. So Rashi gives an answer. Well, they're still called shvatim. These are called shvatim, and those are not. Lush and Rashi. That's Rashi's language. That's Ad Kan Der Rashi. Yes, Aditi, you had a question.
Wasn't there a difference, though, when they were called shvatim for the way that they. If they were called shvatim in the way they camped?
Very good. Very good. So far, we're talking about Nachla. So take a look at. So you're saying there are other nafkaminas in the breakdown into shvatim aside from Chalukas Eretz Yisrael. Chalukas Eretz Yisrael is a big one. But there are also... You do find in Sefer Shoftim, sometimes there was a draft of a quota, a draft per shevet. Each shevet should put up 1,000 people or something along those. That's interesting, right. And the way they camped around the Mishkan, where else do you have shvatim come up? The big day Kahuna, and the big day Kohen Gadol, both on the Avnei Shoham that were on his two shoulders, the names of the 12 Shvatim are inscribed, as well as Hargizim Har'evel. Right, so you have the Avnei Shoham and you have the Avnei Achoshen, and then you have Hargizim Har'evel. Now, in terms of when you think about these various times that the Shvatim are relevant, it's worth noting some of them are Menashe Ephraim. There are two ways to count the Shvatim, to count 12 Shvatim. And you can leave out Levi and count Menashe Ephraim as two, or you can count Levi and the Menashe Ephraim are combined into one. But the Avnei Shoham and the Avnei Achoshen, Levi is one of the 12, and the Menashe Ephraim are combined into a single Yosef. There was only one stone for Yosef. There was no Menashe stone, Ephraim stone. And I believe the Avnei Shoham also, the names are inscribed, six in each of the two stones. I believe Levi's name does appear, and Menashe and Ephraim are combined just to be named as Yosef. So there it's irrelevant. Menashe and Ephraim are irrelevant. Chalukas Aretz Levi is not Notah Chaluk Baretz, and Menashe and Ephraim appear separately. And in the Degalim also, and Hargizim Har'evel, I'm glad you pointed that out. In those three contexts, Levi is not in the mix, and Menashe and Ephraim appear separately. So you're right. Right now, Rashi is not talking about... Rashi is not talking about Hargizim and Har Evel. He's also not talking about the way they camped in the Midbar. Those were other cases where Menashe Levi is not counted in the 12, and Menashe Ephraim are counted as separate ones. And were Yosef to have had additional sons, they would not appear as a separate area, for they wouldn't have their own degel, and they wouldn't necessarily have their own position. In terms of the brachas and klaus hargizim har'evel, we're getting a little ahead of ourselves. Let's see how Rambam plays it out. It's also worth already considering. We're already thinking about. We've already put on the table five different contexts in which we have halachas relate to the listing, the enumeration of 12 shvatim, and we already noticed that some of them are. Include Levi and combine Yosef into one, while others exclude Levi and break out Menashe Ephraim as two separate ones. Within that list of the three where Menashe Ephraim appear separately, you have Nachal on the one hand, and you have Brachos Uklalos Hargizim HaEval, and the Degalim in the Midbar on the other hand. There is a significant difference, obviously, between Nachal on the one hand and the others, on the other hand, worth thinking about. But let's see where Ramban takes us. The zeh einenu nachon. This is not correct. Wow. Ramban throws down the gauntlet. He says, that's what Rashi said. I have great respect for Rashi, and I think he is, in all due respect, he is incorrect. The zeh einenu nachon. Kshe'im kein, I did Ramban says I disagree with Rashi. Kshe'im kein einenu b'chor li Yosef leina b'chor belvad. Sheyekaru barav shvatim. Really? Says Rabbi, I mean, Rashi just said that there really is no nafkimina for Nachla. It's just a matter of being called Shvatim. Like the Degalim. Like Hagriz Mar Evel. Or even like Nachla. This is called Eretz Menashe. That's called Eretz Ephraim. But Lamaisa, they're not actually getting more land. It's not like people who come from Yosef get more land per person than people who come from Yehuda or Reuven or Naphtali. He says, really? That's what Rashi said, but Rabban says, I find that hard to swallow. Why? They will be called. So that's what Rashi said. Oh, they're called Shvatim. It's more than just being called something. More than just covered. Yikar benachalasam. Yaakov said, they're called Shvatim with respect to their nachalas. It sounds like there's actual dollars and cents difference. Here's the Gemara talks about this in Harius. The Gemara Amru Nachli Kashtim Reuven Shimon Lola Davaracher. They were compared to Reuven Shimon for Nachla, not for all other purposes. He tells you on the bottom another Nafkamina in Shvatim is Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur. When we have a large number of Jews doing an Avera based on an incorrect Psak of Beis Din, so you have to figure out is it Rov Klal Yisrael, is not Rov Klal Yisrael. And one of the factors is how many Shvatim were involved in that Chet. So for that purpose, the Gemara Harya says, we count Menashe Ephraim as one. So the Gemara says, they're not counted as two separate Shvatim for Parham Davar Shel Tzibur, but they are counted as Shvatim for Nachla. Le Nachla Kashi. The Gemara is explicit that this is Yikaru B'Nachla Sam. They are separate with respect to Nachla. There has to be some teeth to this. His key rabbi saying B'chor Makom. Shal Yosef B'chor Nachla. Elsewhere Chazal told Yosef is getting the B'chor. He got the B'chor that Reuven would have had. B'chor means Pishnayim. Where's the Pishnayim? K'mishba kal B'chor. So Ramban says, "Well, how is it becharasol hikare shvatim bilvad k'divrei Rav? It can't be that it's merely a matter of being called two separate shvatim, as the Rav, I mean, as Rashi said. No, you see, it's not the case. Even Chazal, it's not. Even the pasuk is not the case. Even Chazal, it's not the case. There was an actual difference in the nachala. Umizenil mod od." And then the Rabban goes a step further. Now that I've demonstrated to you, based on Psukim and Midrash Chazal, that there was a real difference in terms of Chalukah Saaretz, that B'nai Yosef got more land per person proportionally than members of any other Shevet, and that was the Bechora, then you know what you see from that? What you see is, it sounds, Rabban says, what does it sound like? It sounds like it wasn't per person. It was per shevet. Each shevet got a certain chunk of land. I mean, it's clear in Sefer, in Chumash and Sefer Yoshua that the breakdown was done by shevet first, and then it was subdivided into families and ultimately into individuals. But the Rabban is saying, it sounds like the land was divided proportionally per shevet, not per person. It was every shevet got roughly the same chunk of land. Maybe some shevet would get smaller amount, but it was more plantable, it was more fertile. But it was really even per shevet. And then we say, that talk is a pishnayim. Mizeh nilmod otaz Ramban. Shlocholku ha'aretz ha'shift Yisrael l'gugulosam. Not only do I disagree with what he says about Yosef, but I see from that that the Rashi's underlying assumption is incorrect. It was not proportional per person. Shem came out b'chor zos b'yusha. What does it mean that they were b'chorim? If no more shenastu kol echad echad b'nei Yosef pishnayim ke'echad mikol ishei shara shatim. Are you going to tell me maybe it was proportional per person and every Jew got X number of acres and anyone from Menashe Ephraim got double as many acres per person? Lahuska zeh b'kaz zeklal. There's no indication of that in the Chumash. The only time we talk about Bechora is that Shimon and Ephraim and Asher like Reuven and Shimon. They count as two Shvatim instead of one. I has an afternoon for Nachala, says Ramban, Umizeh Amar HaKasav, Nitna Bechorasel Levnei Yosef Ben Yisrael. There was a Bechora, the Psukim say, tells you on the bottom, it's a Pasuk in Divrei Yamim. There was Bechora for Yosef, but it was a Bechor being like Reuven and Shimon. Not that each individual Yosefite got twice as much land as each individual Reuvenite or Naphtaliite. So what does it mean? No! Legamek and Sheshvatim, he Bechoras, they're like two Shvatim. The Kach, Hem Divacham, Chamach, that's what we say all the time. He says, but the point is, Ha'inyan and Enuklal, Kamosha Maharav. The core issue of how Chalukas Ha'aretz was done is not as Rashi understood it, says Ramban. There ought to be a comma here. That's what he points on the bottom. The footnote about the note about Kamosh Amarav. It's not like Rashi said. Rather, Sheretz Yisrael, L'shvatim Neschalka, it wasn't really proportional per person. It was divided proportionally per Shevet. Shnei Masar Chalakim Shavim Asu Mimena. They made Eretz, they cut Eretz all into 12 even pieces. V'natal shevet Shimon ha-memuat shevem k'shevet Yehuda shemru b'chusim. Shimon, that had the smallest population, took the same size chunk as Yehuda, that had the biggest population. So, B'nai Shimon got more land per person than B'nai Yehuda. As Ramban says, clearly, I see from this whole discussion about Ephraim and Asher that I ought to disagree fundamentally with Rashi and Samshma Chalukas Ha'aretz. The kachel b'gemar yesh nochelin. That's a gemar in the 8th paragraph of Baba Basra. Tis chal, tis nachalu b'eretz, arts, etc. He says, I, the pasuk, says three lines off the bottom. Masham ha-kosel, rav tar ben nachal aso, lama'at tamit. Rashi had quoted that. Pasuk end of Chumash, b'midbar sounds like it's done proportional per person. If there are more people, bigger nachal, less people, less nachal. He says, that's not per shevet. That's on the below the per, that's the next level of breakdown. Once each shevet has its land, and now you divide it into families, into clans, into batei-av, at that point, once Eretz Yehuda has this amount of land for X number of people, that's going to be divided proportionally by people. But the first level of Chalukah into Shvatim was different. That's what the Ramban teaches us. Now, two closing points. Number one, there's a very important lamdasher echo of what the Ramban says, and then I'll share with you briefly Brisker Rav's defense of Rashi. Right? Ramban said, Ramban developed several important ideas just now. He said Rashi's explanation of Menashe Ephraim is untenable. Ramban thinks that there's ample evidence in Psukim and Chazal that that it wasn't merely a matter of being called to Shvatim. It was the Yikar B'Nachalasam. There was actually Nafkamina. It was really Bechor L'Nachal. And Rabban says he finds it hard to believe that that was on the personal level. It must be that each Shevet gets the same size piece. And but Menashe Ephraim counted as two. They end up gaining twice as many. Right? The Torah talks about per-person proportionality. Rabban has the next major Chiddush, there's a difference. He doesn't make a big deal out of this, but he shows there's a difference between the first level of Chalukah into Shvatim and subsequent subdivisions into families and people. Subsequent subdivisions, those were talking proportional per person. But the first level of Chalukah into the old Eretz Yisrael into 12 parts, that was done differently. Different than all the other Chalukah. The truth is that idea is reflected in a Brisker Rav in the Sefer and Rambam. And Rabbi Schechter picks up on this in Siman Lamed of Eretz Hatzvi, that it seems that the Gemara has a discussion about whether Yushalayim was divided into Shvatim or not. Yushalayim Neschakol or Shvatim or Lo Neschakol or Shvatim. And to make a long story short, it seems that the one who holds Yushalayim Lo Neschakol, everyone agrees that Yushalayim had to be at least the Beit Makam Mikdash had to be publicly owned. But the Pesukim tells that David HaMelech, and then to say for Shmuel, collects money for all the Shvatim to buy the Makam Mikdash from Arav Nahayavusi. See, it was public property. So if it was public property anyways, why should some Tanaim hold that Yerushalayim will nischalk l'shvatim? What's wrong with doing that? You have a mitzvah chalukas aretz. Why not do a chalukas aretz in Yerushalayim? Dividing to Yehuda, Binyamin, what have you. And a couple hundred years later, when it's time to build Beis HaMikdash, David will take public funds and buy up Makam Mikdash. What's wrong with that? What's insufficient about that? Why do some Tanaim say, no, they never did a chaluk to begin with? The answer is, Bishkrav, and suggests, and Hashechter refines this and hones this some more in Eretz Tzvi, is that buying it up with public land will make it public property. On the Choshen Mishpat level, on Dine Mamnas level, it now belongs to the Tzibur. But Mashal Amad Davar Domen, if you visit a couple blocks away, there's the post office for zip code 10033, right? So that's owned by the federal government. Post office property is owned by the federal government. But what state is it in? New York State. It's governed by New York State law. It belongs to the federal government. Masha Eino Kein, Washington, D.C. It's a question of who owns it. It doesn't have the status of Maryland or Virginia. It's stateless. So there, whenever you have something that's jointly owned and you divide it, chalukas hashutfas, like it's coming up soon, bottom of Sukkah, Daf Gimel Beis, that's a question of who owns it. But the Rizkov suggests that first level of chalukah, which Ramban here is saying was unique, the first level of chalukah l'shvatim was doing more than merely this question of who owns it. It was also an issur v'heter, what's the status? Is it in the state of Yehuda, the state of Reuven, the state of Shem? There's special dinim. There's certain dinim only apply in Eretz Yehuda. Ibra Hashana, certain karbanos. So unlike all the other subsequent levels of sub-chaluka to clans and families and people, which was merely a matter of dinim mamonis, like any other chaluka sashutvus, the first level of chaluka l'shvatim, that was giving permanent status. And even if someone from Shevet Shimon buys land in Eretz Yehuda, it belongs, dinim mamonis, to someone from Shimon. But Isra Meheter, the status is still Eretz Yehuda, and vice versa. Much as a private person or the federal government could buy a parcel of land in New York State, it'll belong to the federal government or belongs to a private person, but remains governed legally by the laws of New York State. Masha'eke, Washington, D.C. is not any state. But the machlokas by Yishayim Moles Chalko Shvatin is, did the Beis HaMikdash just have to be public property, Dini Mominus, or actually had to be shavetless, no chalashem in any shavet. So that's what the Ramban seems to be reflecting here, that Ramban sheet is there was something unique and different about even the proportionality of how the chalukah l'shvatim was done. And in closing, in the footnote on Reish Tamarav, he points out that Reb Lezer, the Mizrahi, really old Mizrahi, the Re'aim, when the classic Mefarshim and Rashi, suggests that no, maybe Rashi held it was merely a matter of coven. There was no dollars and cents, nothing. You know, right? Is it cool to shave it Ephraim, shave it Menashe? Eretz Ephraim, Eretz Menashe would just be called Eretz Yosef. I mean, there was no dollars and cents. And I will leave you with a beautiful Brisker Rav and Chumash, part of Zos HaBracha, who points out that might be reflected in the Birkas Moshe, the Chor Sharo Hadarlo, that the Bechora was merely Hadar. It was merely a matter of covet. It had no actual nafkamiyas in dollars and cents. And that is the position of Rashi here. That it was, you know, do you get another dego? And you get your own spot at Bailey Brachas and Klalas? And will we call part of the land Eretz Ephraim versus Eretz Menashe? Will we call the Eretz Israel, Eretz Yosef? But in a Hanami, it had no nafkamiyas in dollars and cents. Exactly what the Chumash says, Bechor Sharo Hadar Lo. Shkoyach Hevra. Tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem, we will start with Tavis. We'll probably start a little late with the davening. But we may start with Zil Sharm. And we'll just say to dedicate the bulk, if not all, the morning to the next Sugya and Sukkah.
Is there a Shalvim meeting here?
There is a Shalvim meeting right now, yeah.
In Europe?